Chapter 15. I'd left that music was still playing, and I not there, I should be quite melancholy-like. Hatsier hurry then, Laban? Inquired Coggan. You used to bite as late as the latest. Ye see, neighbors, I was lately married to a woman, and she's my vocation now, and so ye see, the young man hated lamely. New lords, new laws, as the saying is, I suppose, remarked Coggan. Why, a believe ha, ha, said Susan Tall's husband, in a tone intended to imply his habitual reception of jokes without minding them at all. The young man then wished them good night and withdrew. Henry Frey was the first to follow. Then Gabriel arose and went off with Jan Coggan, who had offered him a lodging. A few minutes later, when the remaining ones were on their legs, and about to depart, Frey came back again in a hurry. Flourishing his finger ominously, he threw a gaze teeming with tidings, just where his eye alighted by accident, which happened to be in Joseph Poorgrass's face. What's the matter, Henry? Said Joseph, starting back. Hats a brewing, Henry? Asked Jacob and Mark Clark. Bailey Pennyways, Bailey Pennyways, I said so. Yes, I said so. Hat, found out stealing anything? Stealing it is. The news is, that after Miss Everton got home she went out again, to see all was safe, as she usually do, and coming in found Bailey Pennyways creeping down the granary steps with half a bushel of barley. She fleed at him like a cat, never such a tomboy as she is, of course I speak with closed doors. Who do you do, Henry? He fleed at him, and, to cut a long story short, he owned to having carried off 5 sack altogether, upon her promising not to persecute him. Well, he's turned out neck and crop, and my question is, who's going to be Bailey now? The question was such a profound one, that Henry was obliged to drink there, and then from the large cup till the bottom was distinctly visible inside. Before he had replaced it on the table, in came the young man, Susan Tall's husband, in a still greater hurry. Ave ye heard the news that's all over parish? About Bailey Pennyways? But besides that? Oh, not a morsel of it. They replied, looking into the very midst of Laban Tall, as if to meet his words halfway down his throat. Had a night of horrors, murmured Joseph Poorgrass, waving his hand spasmodically. I've had the news bell ringing in my left ear quite bad enough for a murder, and I've seen a magpie all alone. Annie Robin, Miss Everton's youngest servant, can't be found. They've been wanting to lock up the door these 2 hours, but she isn't come in. And they don't know what to do about going to bed for fear of locking her out. They wouldn't be so concerned if she hadn't been noticed in such low spirits these last few days, and Marion think the beginning of a crowner's inquest has happened to the poor girl. Tis burned, came from Joseph Poorgrass's dry lips. Oh, tis drowned, said Tall. Art is her father's razor, suggested Billy Smulberry, with a vivid sense of detail. Miss Everton wants to speak to one or two of us, before we go to bed. What with this trouble about the Bailey, and now about the girl, Mrs. is almost wild. They all hastened up the lane to the farmhouse, excepting the old maltster, whom neither news, fire, rain, nor thunder could draw from his hole. There, as the other's footsteps died away, he sat down again, and continued gazing as usual into the furnace with his red, bleared eyes. From the bedroom window above their heads, Bathsheba's head and shoulders, robed in mystic white, were dimly seen extended into the air. Are any of my men among you? She said anxiously. Yes, ma'am, several, said Susan Tall's husband. Tomorrow morning I wish 2 or 3 of you to make inquiries in the villages round, if they have seen such a person as Fanny Robin. Do it quietly, there is no reason for alarm as yet. She must have left, whilst we were all at the fire. Beg your pardon, but had she any young man courting her in the parish, ma'am? Asked Jacob Smulberry. Don't know, said Bathsheba. I've never heard of any such thing, ma'am. Said 2 or 3. T is hardly likely either, continued Bathsheba. for any lover of hers might have come to the house, if he had been a respectable lad. The most mysterious matter connected with her absence indeed. The only thing which gives me serious alarm is that she was seen to go out of the house by Marion with only her indoor working gown on, not even a bonnet. And do you mean, ma'am, excusing my words, that a young woman would hardly go to see her young man without dressing up? Said Jacob, turning his mental vision upon past experiences. Tee, that's true, she would not, ma'am. He had, I think, a bundle, though I couldn't see very well, said a female voice from another window, which seemed that of Marion. Be but as he had no young man about here. Hers lives in Casterbridge, and I believe he's a soldier. Oh, you know his name? Bathsheba said. Oh, mistress. She was very close about it. Perhaps I might be able to find out if I went to Casterbridge Barracks, said William Smulberry. Very well, if she doesn't return tomorrow, mind you go there and try to discover which man it is, and see him. I feel more responsible than I should if she had had any friends or relations alive. I do hope she has come to no harm through a man of that kind. And then there's this disgraceful affair of the bailiff, but I can't speak of him now. Bathsheba had so many reasons for uneasiness, that it seemed she did not think it worth while to dwell upon any particular one. Do as I told you, then she said in conclusion, closing the casement. Why, mistress, we will, they replied, and moved away. That night at Coggins, Gabriel Oak, beneath the screen of closed eyelids, was busy with fancies, and full of movement, like a river flowing rapidly under its ice. Night had always been the time at which he saw Bathsheba most vividly, and through the slow hours of shadow he tenderly regarded her image now. It is rarely that the pleasures of the imagination will compensate for the pain of sleeplessness, but they possibly did with Oak tonight, for the delight of merely seeing her effaced for the time his perception of the great difference between seeing and possessing. He also thought of plans for fetching his few utensils and books from Norcombe. The young man's best companion, the farrier's sure guide, the veterinary surgeon, Paradise Lost, The Pilgrim's Progress, Robinson Crusoe, Ash's Dictionary, The Walkingham's Arithmetic, constituted his library, and though a limited series, it was one from which he had acquired more sound informatiae by diligent perusal than many a man of opportunities has done from a furlong of laden shelves. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.